Kind of small crowd that we have this evening. A few people made some comments to me, and my mother, who I love very dear and have so much respect for, jokingly, hopefully, said, "Boy, you can really pack him in, can't you, Ben?" And had somebody else say, "Man, there's not many people here tonight, Ben." So appreciate that. Now that my confidence is and my encouragement level is up, I really want to, hopefully, that everything will be okay tonight. But I do appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight, and especially the elders giving, I believe every month now, someone the opportunity to speak and to be able to preach on every last Sunday of the night of the month. And I think that's to be commended, and I know that everyone who has that opportunity appreciates it. I had every intention of preaching something different this evening, kind of a follow-up to something I spoke on a few months ago, dealing with the doctrine of God, and I kind of wanted to talk on if God is so good, if God is so great, then why does evil exist? And that's a very good topic, and I got a lot of it together, and it was extremely long, and I preached a long one last time, and there's so much in that topic. But since Dad preached this morning on, and is really kind of continuing his theme, dealing with walking with God, we've had a lot of interesting studies dealing with different people walking with God, and this morning had the opportunity to learn about Mary Magdalene. And keeping with that theme, I kind of want to talk this evening about Mary and the other Mary, dealing with Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. And I hope to just give you a few words of encouragement tonight that hopefully you can take with you, not only the women of the group here this evening, but that all of us can take with us on this extraordinary individual who is called blessed among women. And there's not too many lessons devoted to the subject of Mary. And a lot of times people in the world or other individuals, when asked about Mary, certain images come to their mind. And this may be one of them. I found this image earlier. There's a lot of other images that I could have used, but this is one of the images. There's a lot of other images out there looked in the World Wide Web today on one of the Catholic home pages, and they had lots of images about Mary. But a lot of times people come up with this idea of Mary when asked about Mary. They believe, as you see here, that the angels which are guarding her and the baby Jesus, and she is enthroned. She's actually given a place of prominence in this picture, in this painting. And of course there she is holding the baby Jesus in her arms. A lot of people feel this way about her, or have this idea of Mary, that she holds this kind of presence, this kind of being. And I want to kind of look at a few of those this evening to start out with, to kind of maybe some information that you have heard as well, dealing with some misconceptions, per se, regarding Mary, the mother of Jesus. And one of those comes from a book that I found called The Teachings of the Catholic Church. And it believes that Mary was basically a perpetual virgin. And here's what the book said. It said, "It has been the firm and constant belief of the Catholic Church from the beginning that our Blessed Lady remained a spotless virgin to the end, a virgin before her childbearing, during and after that childbearing." And this is no doubt what many Catholics believe. And if you're a Catholic, I'm not trying to put anyone on the spot. Or I just basically want to show that some of these things are not based from the Bible. And one of those ideas being that Mary was a perpetual virgin. One thing that I find interesting, I don't really understand how the sexual relations of Mary after the birth of Jesus would have any consequence on the virgin birth doctrine, as the Catholics believe. But if you will turn to Matthew chapter 1, and there in verse 24, it enlightens us on the subject dealing with the perpetual birth, or the perpetual virginity of Mary, meaning that Mary was a virgin all of her life. In verse 24 of chapter 1, it says, "And Joseph arose from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." And we'll look at the background information on this a little bit later, during the time that an angel came and spoke to Joseph. So, Mary, yes, was a virgin when Jesus Christ was born. And that is one of the great things about the birth of Jesus Christ that we can lay hold of today, one of the great miracles, that we can believe that. But she did not remain a virgin until her death. And really, I don't think it's necessary that has to be proved or to be even made that statement, that she would. Another thing that many people believe is that Mary should be worshipped. You get a lot of this. You realize that people worship Mary. Many also believe that she should be our intercessor, that when someone prays, praying to God that Mary is there. And Mary is our intercessor. Of course, our only intercessor is Jesus Christ, and we realize that from the Bible. Another book called Yes, the Mother of God Will Help You states, for Catholics, kneeling before Mary as they see her in her image is an act of worship which expresses the honor that they would show her as a creature of excelling sanctity and enjoying a unique union with God. So basically, they're saying that this unique union, being something different than you and I might have with God, but no doubt a unique union, and that basically states that Mary is to be worshipped. But we realize in Matthew chapter 4, just a couple of pages over, that God is the only being that is to be worshipped. Time and time again in the Bible, we see that certain individuals try to worship other individuals, whether they be apostles. And those people say, you're not to worship me. In the book of Revelation, John himself tries to kneel down in front of angels and worship angels. And even the angels, even though they are in heaven with God, they are not to be worshipped either. God is the only one who is to be worshipped. In Matthew 4:10, the famous passage states that then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord God and serve him only." There were some other misconceptions that people had that we could deal with, but we'll just skip some of those. Once again, like being the intercessor or mediatrix. Another one being that Mary led a life of sinless perfection. And we realize that the only being that came down on this earth and lived on this earth, who lived a life of sinless perfection, was actually her son, Jesus Christ, because all have sinned. And Jesus did no sin. So these are just some of the misconceptions that are made. That she was blessed among women, we cannot deny. We can't deny that she was blessed. Even Elizabeth says, "Blessed among women are you." And we're going to find that out a little bit later. But when Mary gave birth to Jesus, and once she fulfilled her motherly responsibilities to Jesus, then her part in God's divine plan about bringing these things together was finished. Let's take a couple of minutes now to look at what Mary did, what her part in this divine plan that we're talking about, what Mary's part was in that. First of all, she was chosen for a very special act. And basically, that was to give birth to Jesus. That was the most important thing and the most wonderful thing about it. Turn to Luke 26, and we're going to read the whole passage here in Luke. Luke 1. And beginning with verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this may be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who has called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Imagine Mary receiving news like this, and I think the most interesting passage of all of this has to be, if you look at verse 37 and 38. First of all, we find out that nothing is impossible with God, but look at verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word, and the angel departed from her." Imagine in our own lives when we are requested, when learning through the word of God, requested to do something, whether it be teach a Bible class, whether it be preach, whether it be lead singing, whether it be any of the things publicly, or whether it be teaching those who are outside of the body, or whether it be any of these things to help the sick. Imagine the type of person that Mary would have been when asked this question. Here is Mary. I don't know if she had time to ponder the thoughts that might have happened with her. If she would have given a son, birth to a son, and yet she had no mate, was not married at the time. This was grave consequences that could have come to Mary because of her statements, because of what she would have done. But what does she say? Instead of giving excuses, what does Mary do in verse 37? She says, "Behold the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to what? According to your word." And then it says the angel departed from her. That to me is an amazing idea that Mary had, was immediately saying, "Be it done to me according to your word." Look at some of the other great Bible characters that we study about. We study about great Bible characters, and we learn about them and how they stand up and do what God tells them to do, but we also learn about other Bible characters who were also as great, like Moses. Think about Moses. Think about Moses when God asked him to lead his people out of Israel. You remember there was like four or five times Moses gave excuses and said, "I am unable to do this. Get somebody else. Don't do it to me. Give it to somebody else." Moses apparently knew the consequences of his actions, and apparently Mary probably did too. But yet Mary, on the other hand, says, "Be it done to me according to your word." She gave no excuses at this time, and that's a wonderful story. We should also not hesitate. That's one thing that we can learn from Mary. We should not hesitate when asked to do the will of God, whether it be any of those things, and whatever we do, to do it to the honor and to the glory of God. That is our main purpose, is to give God all the glory for everything that we do. So one of her roles was to give birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another thing was to fulfill her motherly responsibilities to Jesus. And this time sometimes may be overlooked, but she was in charge of fulfilling motherly responsibilities to him. Mary is never really shown in control of making decisions for Jesus. And in the infancy of Christ, of Jesus, God seemed to deal entirely with Joseph. If you look over with me at Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, and beginning with verse 13, when an angel of the Lord is going to appear in front of Joseph, appear to Joseph. Verse 13 it says, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Out of Egypt did I call you my son. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged, and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem, and in all its environs, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted, because they were no more. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he arose and took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea, in a place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee. So once we see that in the infancy, God deals entirely with Joseph on guiding Joseph and Mary on what to do here in the certain situations that arose in having Jesus, the Son of God. But another thing that Mary did, not only did she fulfill motherly responsibilities, not only was she not only chosen for the special act, but also gave birth to Jesus Christ, she also allowed Jesus to go about his Father's business. And this must have been awkward, to say the least, for Mary, if you can imagine. Imagine you being the mother, imagine you being the father of this child, and this is a very special, interesting circumstance that Mary has to find herself in, giving birth to God's Son, the one who is to be the Redeemer, the one who is the Emmanuel, the one who is God with us. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 42, if you turn there with me, the story that we all learn, even from when we're children, about Jesus being in the temple at age 12. And we can read this story again. It's a wonderful story in Luke chapter 2.
It says, "And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came about that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding as an answer and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart." And I'm sure any of the mothers or any of the fathers here can understand that when you have children. When you see them do good things, when you see them do things that makes you proud, when you see them do things that you are happy about, things that are good, what does it say here? "And his mother treasured all these things in her heart." And what does it say before that, though? "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them." Do you think that Mary had any influence on Jesus? Do you think that if Mary gave birth and that God saw that Mary was a good person, and then after that happened, do you think that Mary after that could have been just an evil woman, could have been a terrible person and had no influence whatsoever on Jesus? Well, apparently she had a wonderful influence on Jesus because Jesus remained in subjection. Jesus realized that this was his mother, and he did what his mother said, and apparently Mary had a wonderful leading and wonderful example for Jesus to follow. Mary fulfilled her motherly responsibilities and also allowed him to go about his father's business, the business that he needed to do. And Jesus had a very legitimate reason for being in that temple at that time. Not only did Mary fulfill her ways in God's divine plan, but we can also learn some other things from Mary. We can also see some characteristics that not only the women who are here tonight, but that all of us should imitate when seeing Mary. Mary had a wonderful knowledge of the Scriptures, and this may be something that doesn't jump out to begin with, but if you look in Luke chapter 1, we said we would come back to in Luke chapter 1 and beginning with verse 39. I said we'd come back to the time when Mary visits Elizabeth in verse 39. And we'll read from 39 to verse 55. We'll read all of the passage there. It says, "Now at this time Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has fulfilled the hungry with good things and had sent away the rich empty-handed. And he has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever.'" If you look in verse 46 through 55, we see here that Mary quotes from other passages throughout the Old Testament. And this, no doubt, will give us the idea, the reason to believe, that Mary was very knowledgeable about the things that were written before these times. And I think that's something that we can take from Mary. The ability to be able to quote these passages that she quoted, the ability to know the Bible, the ability to study the Word of God, to do those things that God wants us to do, and one of those being studying from His Word. Here we see the idea of when Mary visits Elizabeth. And Elizabeth saying, blessed among women. You are special, Mary. You were had a special purpose. And Elizabeth says these things. Of course, John the Baptist there being in Elizabeth's womb. Another idea is the purity and virtuousness. We see that throughout Mary's life. This idea of purity and being virtuous. And in a time today in which we live, we really need pure people. Really need people who are willing to stand up for the cause of Christ, willing to be pure in an impure world, willing to strive for that perfection that God has called us to, willing to try to do the best we can, even in harsh circumstances, whether it be children in school. I realize how tough it was, even when I was in school, to try to be pure, and a lot of times I did not live up to what God wanted me to live up to. But it's interesting to see that even what children today have to go through, compared to even me growing up in Tennessee, when I was just, you know, a few years ago, it seems like, I didn't have to really worry about a lot of the things that children today have to worry with. And we need to realize that, and we need to be willing to help. And we need to be willing to help them as they try to live that pure and virtuous life that God has commanded. Another thing that Mary had was true and patient submission. She had submission to not only God, but also to her son later. If you look in John chapter 2, John chapter 2, and there, beginning with verse 1. John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 through 5. And on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited and his disciples to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says, you do it. So not only was Mary in submission to God, but later on Mary was in submission to Jesus and realized the importance and said, whatever he says, you do it. This patient submission to the will of God, to her husband's will, and also here later, to Jesus himself. Age of submission is what we need today. This is an age of oftentimes rebellion, but we need to take Mary's lead on this and be submissive to the will of God and what God says. Last but not least, Mary, of course, shows great faith. Great faith in God, great faith in the things that God wanted her to do. Look at with me in Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and beginning with verse 25. This is a presentation of Jesus in the temple beginning with verse 25. It said, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Verse 35, and a sword will pierce even your own soul. You see, Mary, on many instances, did not really realize everything that was being said to her. Did not realize at all times what was going on. That was evident when Jesus was 12 in the temple that we talked about a minute ago. But one thing that Mary understood here, that she was going to have great pain in her life because of Jesus. But yet Mary, realizing that there would be pain, realized that she would have suffering, went on and became that mother that we talked about, submissive to the will of God, and was a wonderful example to Jesus. She loved Jesus just like any other mother would love their son. And that is very evident in the crucifixion of Jesus in John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 23 through 27. And this shows you the great love that Jesus had for his mother. And as all of us as Christians should strive to have that same type of love for our mothers. In John chapter 19, verse 23. The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. They said, therefore, to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saying, they divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. But there were standing the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own household. There's another act of submission. The disciple that Jesus loved, Jesus saying, behold your mother. What does he do? Takes him in, takes Mary into his house, into his household. Mother, behold your son. What a wonderful thing Jesus did at that moment. Realizing what Mary had done to him and had done for him all of his life. What a beautiful idea of Jesus going and seeing Mary, seeing also Mary Magdalene, these others that were there looking upon Jesus, and Jesus taking the time out and saying, woman, behold your son. And son, what does he say? He says, behold your mother, to the disciple standing nearby. That's also another lesson that we can learn from Mary. What do we do when our parents become older? What happens when our parents need us? Do we turn our backs on our parents like many individuals do today? Do we let someone else take care of our parents? Or do we see, like Jesus saw, what Mary had done for him all of his life, and we say, I am willing to take care of you. I am going to do those things. So those of us who have parents who one day will become older and will need our help, we need to today say, I am going to take care of my parents, just as Jesus saw of the necessity to take care of Mary even when he was gone and dead. I think that is a wonderful lesson and so important for us to learn, the crucifixion of Jesus. What faith it must have took on Mary's part. Through all of the things that we talked about today, if anyone could have said, why God, if anyone could have said, why have you let these things happen to me? And even had a bitter hatred towards God. If we could have taken anyone in the passage that we may be able to say, well, we can kind of see Mary's point on that. It could have been hers. But yet Mary, all throughout her life, knew what was going to happen, and yet still followed God, and still had that influence on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe she had a massive influence on him. And one of the reasons why that God chose her, because God knew in his divine providence and his divine plan that Mary would be a wonderful influence on his son, coming to deliver us from sin and what he did. These are wonderful characteristics that Mary has and wonderful ideas that we can think of when talking about the last couple of weeks, and I appreciate that, on different Bible characters that we can imitate our lives after. And I believe one of the greatest can be Mary, the mother of Jesus. We appreciate your attention this evening. I hope that these words have been beneficial, and I hope that you will take them into your heart and look at the life of Mary and try to imitate her in some way as you live her life. We appreciate, once again, the attention. There may be those here in the audience and in the assembly this evening who have not believed. You realize that the things that are necessary to become God's child, to live the Christian life. We also believe that there may be those here who may not have lived up to that life, might not have some of the characteristics that God wants us to have in living our lives. If that's the case, please come to now as we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you are to me. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. Was best for have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save your soul that you need never fall? Let him have his way. Constant rest. Would you prove him true each providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you are to me. His blood and cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee.
Please be seated. Number 110. 110. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Let's bow. Almighty God, our Father and Creator, abundant in mercy.